The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Wrestling to the Max, NXT Review.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestling to the Max's NXT review for September 6th, 2017. And of course, we are brought to you by W2Mnet.com as well as 411Mania.com and LastOneOnSports.com. Also, make sure you guys also know, make sure you go subscribe, rate, and review at wherever you can find Wrestling to the Max. And that's pretty much anywhere, including YouTube, Podcast Addict, Apple Podcast. I mean, we are on the road wherever you want to go find us. You are available. Make sure you guys also know that, of course, you know, we are here for all your other great wrestling needs like, you know, Raw, SmackDown Live, 205 Live. Those are some other great review shows we do, as well as we do two Wrestling to the Max shows every week. We're available Wednesday morning, Tuesday morning and Friday morning for you guys to enjoy. And there you go. So before I screw up too much, I'm going to keep continuing this on just by saying I am Gary Vaughn, and our host tonight is Paul Leeser.
Heyo.
I try to put our show off another night for one of the episodes just to make people listen to it late, but sorry about that. I'm a little discombobulated, and I'll tell everybody why. I'll do that on a regular episode of Wrestling to the Max, but I've had a crazy week, Paul, so here I am. Hopefully, I can keep it together tonight.
I've had a very long week so far, so I'm right there with you. Let's not waste any time before we both fall asleep. Let's talk about this episode of NXT. I want to talk about this opening video package because it's just rehashing everything that about Hideo turning heel and how that's evolved Cassius Ohno's. But I thought this was like another wonderful video package from the WWE. I thought this did a really great job of showing you all the important stuff, really highlighting what was important, and like drawing you into wanting to see the match later on. I really enjoyed it.
These things are catch 22 for me. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that is they're so well done, like you're saying, and they really do give you that well-rounded picture of what you're about to get into later in the show. And that's great. In some cases, it's really needed because guys like me, I don't remember everything. Sometimes I remember parts of a feud, but I don't remember some of the little intricacies or maybe something that happened on one episode. Mm-hmm. Just kind of blanked on it. And I think this is a good deal on doing that. Now, the flip side of that coin is I remember all this. I've seen it. I watched every episode of NXT. So I'm kind of like, okay, cool. Let's move on. Let's get to the next thing. And it just kind of drug on a little bit. But that's, once again, that's me watching this. I think this is perfect for the casual fan who maybe misses a few weeks of NXT, mm-hmm. doesn't tune in weekly like I do. I think it's great, especially for you to be able to set up a big match like they were going to have. So very well done. I'm happy with it. It's just, once again, this is my personal thing with it.
And that's fair. I know there are a lot of people out there that don't watch NXT week to week like we do. So if you haven't, don't worry. They got you covered.
Yeah.
This moves us into our opening match with Andrade Cien Almas with Zelina Vega on commentary, taking on Cesar Bognoni once again. This is basically a squash. Sort of helps to reaffirm the relationship between Almas and Vega, because Vega talks about how she met Almas, which was back in Mexico some 7 years ago, and helped him with his career then, and is back doing it now. And she sort of is the one to push Andrade to finish it when he does, and puts Cesar away with the hammerlock DDT.
Yeah, and this is a match that I was kind of curious how it was going to go for this reason. Bonin beat, you know, Cien Almas, what, a month, 2 months ago, something like that, and they pointed it out. Is it 2 months ago? Yeah, but it's still stuck in my mind, and that's what's kind of cool about it. You know, I kind of got the idea that they wanted to, you know, maybe have Bonin be that guy that's kind of a little bit of a thorn inside and seeing Almas's skin, and I think that maybe that didn't happen because Cena almost did win here. But I, for a long time in this match, I thought, oh, man, some way, somehow, Bonin's going to sneak out a victory, and we're going to have this little storyline with a guy, maybe not a big name, but it'd be kind of fun to see Almas get angrier and angrier and just be more of a jerk. And Dylan didn't have to do that. I'm kind of maybe possibly glad that didn't happen, but I thought it'd be kind of a fun storyline. But this is a decent match here. Once again, you get to see that Cena Almas is going to do everything possible to win these matches. He's going to cheat. He's going to find a way to get things done. And he did it once again. And I'm really curious about this Bonin kid. I want to see more of him. I'm kind of in the realm of curiosity because he is such a tall guy. He's a larger guy. I don't know that I'm overly impressed with him yet, but once again, this is developmental. Can't expect him to be world class. I just think that, you know, I have some intrigue with this guy, and Almost is doing a good job.
I agree. Bognoni, to me, I feel like is somebody who is getting better every time I see him. Like, his the few moves that he does get in here look very crisp, very well executed, all that good stuff. And it's not like they give him a lot of time to really show off either. But his stuff that he does get in is fine, and Andrade and Zelina continue to be an entertaining duo. So,
definitely. And Bognoni is from Brazil, right?
Correct.
Yeah, Brazil. So, once again, this multicultural situation, it just works out in their favor. And I thought it was kind of fun to see him come out here and really, you know, once again, like you said, didn't have a lot of time to do anything, but he still looked good. That's why I think my curiosity's peaked, because this isn't just your regular everyday job. That's all I'm saying. I think that he did a little bit more than he probably had to. So, good job.
We move on to a recap of Red Dragon and Adam Cole's attack on Drew McIntyre last week, and this segues into an interview with William Regal, who's in his office, who's making it abundantly clear that attacks outside of the ring aren't where the business is done in NXT. It happens in the ring. So a very strong warning sent out by William Regal after he pretty much yelled at him to get off his lawn last week. And then this brings us to, I forget the backstage interviewer's names in NXT, but she's in front of Asuka's locker room. Patrick Clark shows up and says, "His time to finally speak is coming soon." I don't know if I really care, honestly.
This line of interviews, it kind of leaves you with, like, okay, why did I even have to see this? That's the big question mark you have in your mind as you watch both. I think the Patrick Clark thing is, I want to see him go out there and show the charisma that we're supposed to see. Go out there and have the matches that we need to see. I don't really need a backstage interview with him just saying, "Ho, ho, ho, you can't wait till I say something, but I'm not doing it now." To me, that's for guys who have name value. That's for guys who have already shown something. This kind of, in a way, I would parallel this to maybe a Dolph Ziggler situation, which we're seeing now on SmackDown Live, where, you know, he was doing the whole thing of, well, you want to see me? You want to see this big new flashy entrance? You're going to have to wait. And he did that for 2-3 weeks, and you actually cared because you know who Dolph Ziggler is, what he's about. We still don't know really what Patrick Clark's about. Sure, we've seen like 3 matches. We've seen a little bit of him backstage. Still not enough for us to care, hold on to. This is a little too early in the game to be playing those kind of games, if you ask me, if you're Patrick Clark, because, Paul, your reaction's spot on. Do I care? No. That's the answer.
Yeah. It's a real shame. I feel like maybe this should have been the week to do the segment of him laying out his plan or whatever, because he desperately needs some interest, if you ask me, because he's not on TV enough to really carry it over week to week, and when he's there, it's not like he's anything impressive that you have to, you know, you stay glued.
You know, there's other guys that didn't have tons of TV time that I think people sort of gravitate to, and No Way Jose is one of them. I think that, you know, put in a situation like this, maybe No Way Jose could keep people's interest and maybe keep them like, huh, what's he doing and what's he talking about? But Patrick Clark is not there, and he didn't have that hype that No Way Jose had coming in pretty much cold. I look at this as something that they're trying to build on, but they're just not doing a good job of it. And what's kind of strange about it is usually NXT does a pretty decent job of getting guys in front of you and then really kind of taking their time, but yet still keeping your interest, getting you going with them. This is the one guy I say they really haven't done that great of a job on. And I know there's not a whole lot to talk about there, but I do want to say this. Are you ready to go ahead and just see this Adam Cole and Red Dragon stuff go ahead and be out there where they're actually in the ring talking? I'm not sure that I'm loving this whole thing where they're hiding out every week. I maybe I'm just impatient, but I want to hear from these guys. I want something to be done because right now it seems like we're just playing the waiting game just to do it. And I don't know how long I want to sit here and do that.
I don't know if we're playing the waiting game just to do it. This is three very big names off the independent scene. Three guys who have a lot of name value that they're bringing that to NXT, not to mention this sort of cachet that they're carrying right now as a group together. And we still don't, we don't really know what they're after other than they're taking out champions. And that's perfect, right? I mean, it gives them a goal to focus on whenever they do decide to talk, but why? That's what I want to know. Why here in NXT? Why now? Why all this other stuff? And I kind of like that they're not overly bashing you over the head with it. Granted, this is the hottest act in NXT, right? Or the hottest story, I would say, maybe not the hottest act, but what we got this week, I was completely content with. And I, as much as I do want to hear him talk, I'm willing to wait as long as they want, especially if it means we get to maybe see Donovan Dijak sooner rather than later.
Oh, yeah. I mean, hey, I'm game for that, you know, and I think this is all about impatience with me. I think I just want to get to that point where I get to hear more from those guys, something else besides just seeing them lay out people and then disappear and, you know, being chased off William Regal's property, all that kind of stuff doesn't really, it doesn't overly just make me so stoked and excited about these three guys and possibly even four. I think you're right. A lot of times the anticipation really does help. I just worry about other people maybe getting excited about it because they don't know these guys. They really don't know unless they are fans of the indie circuit, are fans of Ring of Honor, and do know them. So I really do wonder that dynamic, and I wish I could go interview people who are from both sides of the fence, really know these guys, and got people that only know them because they were a part of NXT. So,
right.
Yeah, once again, I think I'm being impatient, but yes, I think they're doing a decent job. I just want to see it sooner than later, and hopefully it does happen.
And it will. I think this is definitely one we just have to be patient with, for sure.
Yeah.
Next up, we get Lars Sullivan taking on three victims, and that's basically all they are, because once the bell rings, Lars has some fun tossing them around before he finally decides to end it with his little one-arm body slam sort of thing. Afterwards, he starts beating him up some more, but here comes No Way Jose. He's got a microphone, and he's upset about Lars ruining his longest conga line ever at NXT Brooklyn, and gets into the ring, stares him down, and I found it very interesting. Jose is a very tall gentleman, and he's almost taller than Lars, which is kind of neat, because it does at least make them feel equal in that sense. Jose, however, ends up hitting him first, hits a couple more strikes before Lars decides that he is done playing around and just absolutely destroys Jose for even trying to think that he's on his level.
And see, this is exactly why I brought up the how tall Lars was, because I noticed William Regal was about the same height as this guy. And it just seemed kind of odd, because when you see him by himself, you just think he's a mountain of a man. But, I mean, he's not, and that's not a huge deal to me. I'm just going to say this for the fact that, you know, there's a guy named Vince McMahon who runs the main roster who may have an issue with that. I don't know that for a fact. I'm just saying, I could see him saying, well, he looks like he's a monster, but once he goes up there and Seth Rollins is towering over him, how are we going to sell that? So, I don't know. I'm kind of curious how that would work out. But nonetheless, this is fun to see him in NXT. I'm excited, you know, and I'll be honest with you. My network or something with this episode cut this off, this end part.
Really?
In fact, yes, it did. And I rewound it several times, and it went from him taking the three guys out to all of a sudden I'm getting the video package. I think it was Sanity, or it was one of those video packages, and I rewound it several times and never let me finish it. So I just thought it was a glitch. But you're telling me what happened here. So I think it's kind of cool, though, you know, that we do have some interaction with a guy like No Way Jose, and it's not just, you know, somebody out there that gets beat up right away. At least No Way Jose gets a little offense in, and then, you know, once again, Lars is going to be dominant, but that's what's fun about this, and Lars is a scary-looking guy. I don't care really how tall he is. He's scary, and he's not exactly a small man at all.
Right, so. Yeah, I mean, his biceps and thighs are larger than most people's entire bodies, if you ask me. So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care if the guy's, you know, as tall as Alexa Bliss or something like that. I would still be terrified of him.
Yeah, this is a guy you don't want to meet anywhere, even if it is well-lit and there are plenty of people around. It's probably not going to matter. We go back into the Performance Center where you have a bunch of people interviewing Johnny about his match at Brooklyn and the t-shirt and if that threw him off his game, to which he says no. But he gets interrupted by Tino Sabatelli and Riddick Moss, who take credit for sort of breaking DIY up and say that maybe Johnny should look for another tag team partner because his match at Brooklyn sort of made him look like a chump, that he's not going to be able to cut it in the singles division. Johnny then challenges them to pick between themselves for a one-on-one match next week. So Johnny will either face Tino Sabatelli or Riddick Moss next week on NXT.
Yeah, you know, that'll be kind of fun. And I think it'll be, you know, kind of cool to see Johnny Gargano have something to do. And it doesn't have to be something serious. And that's what's kind of fun about this, is he can pretty much, I think, go to these guys, get some great wins under his belt, and then move on to the next thing, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what they're setting up here, you know, just a way to get him into some good matches without having to have a serious feud right off the heels of the big pay-per-view. So I think that's good. I'm happy with it. I think that, you know, what we got here needed to be done because we need to keep Johnny Gargano around. We need to keep him in front of our face. Mm-hmm. And as much as they can give me of him in these fun matches, I'm down for it. Let's go for more, so...
I really wouldn't be surprised to see whoever he's facing their partner toss in another DIY shirt and see if that messes him up again or not. I think that might become a thing for a little bit.
Yeah. I could totally see that too. And poor Gargano, every time, you know, has to deal with that whole thing and the monkey on his back, you know?
Absolutely. We get a Sonya Deville hype video. She's going to have a match later on. And then we get a recap of the attack on Sanity last week, and then Sanity has a video response, which is basically them lying on the roof at the Performance Center. You can hear Nikki in the background laughing, and Sanity's kind of excited because they know that Adam Cole and Red Dragon quote-unquote dance different than everybody else in NXT, and that they will soon regret messing with them because Sanity really only cares about one thing, and that is chaos. I really enjoyed this. I thought this was well done. It makes Sanity look very different. And that's something that I don't know that always comes across with maybe just how they are presented inside the ring and inside the Performance Center every week. These little extracurriculars really help separate them from the pack.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think so, too. And, you know, that's the one thing I have to give them credit for is the fact that they do these vignettes or the video packages, all these different things with them very, very well. I think when it comes to Sanity, they're one of the better taken care of when it comes, you know, basically using all the production value that they have. The you know, downfall is what you just mentioned, the ring stuff, and I think sometimes they kind of leave them exposed. But I was very happy with this. I think it sets up a great situation for them. Hopefully it does translate into the ring later on. But this is kind of cool that they are responding and they do care about, you know, being attacked, and they don't act like they are whining. They're not scared. They kind of think it's funny, and they're making jokes about getting destroyed. That is positive to me, and that's kind of a sick thing. And I, hey, that buys me right into whatever they're selling. So I'm just going to say this. I look at, you know, some of the things that they said here and kind of like the little riddles and things like that and think to myself, wow, so I really didn't realize that Red Dragon were such good dancers. Maybe they learned from either Fandango taught them how, or, you know, Sami Zayn gave them a few lessons. So
maybe so, Gary.
Yeah. I'm just thinking to myself, if they're really that good at dancers, I want to see it. Otherwise, this riddle is something I don't know about.
After that, we cut to the ring where Zeta is going to take on Sonya Deville. Zeta was obviously, she's in the Mae Young Classic. She, however, gets squashed pretty quickly by Shayna Baszler, and you don't really get a solid picture of what she's about, and you don't really get that here either, because Sonya Deville basically runs her over, and Zeta gets in a little bit more offense, but a sliding knee from Sonya followed by a triangle armbar gets her the win. I don't know how far along you've gotten in the Mae Young Classic yet, Gary, but a lot of the other people they brought up from the Performance Center, and namely I'm talking about the Big Two and Bianca Belair and Lacey Evans, look miles ahead of where Sonya's at right now. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, or if it just says that Sonya's going to be here for a long time.
Well, I'll say this. I have not got to the second round yet. So I still need to watch it, and you know I need to soon because I got to listen to you guys, which you know Paul, Harry, and Patrick do that great Mae Young Classic review show that everyone needs to tune into. Make sure you go once again w2net.com. Go to your YouTube, wherever you find it, go check it out. I can't wait to watch these shows so I can go listen to you guys. But yeah, I mean I think you're on key here. Really, remind me. Okay, so Zeta, has she been on NXT before tonight?
I don't think so. I believe the Mae Young Classic was her debut.
Okay, so that was the only time I've ever seen her before.
I believe so.
Okay, so I think you're right on this because in this match, you kind of see what she does even compared to what Sonya does. And I think it's kind of interesting. I think you are completely right, though. It's kind of funny that she is not on par, but I also think it has a lot to do with the fact that her style and some of the inexperience that she's had, she's kind of relying on that whole MMA background for the most part. And I think that's the character she's playing. The problem I have with it, though, Paul, is I'm a little bit worried that you've got a lot of other MMA former talent in that division coming soon to NXT. And if Sonya's going to be around for a long period of time, well, that's fine to develop, but I can see replacements coming very soon if she don't pick up her game soon. Mm-hmm. Because there's so many more people that they're going to start interviewing and bringing to the ring saying, you know, oh, this is a former, you know, UFC fighter, former MMA superstar, all that kind of stuff. And it's going to get monotonous. And she can't be left in the cold. She's got to start picking her game up. And I'm really curious too, Paul. I mean, I don't even know how long she's been a part of this company, but I would have thought she'd been further along by now.
I know she was on the most recent edition of Tough Enough, which is where Sonya comes from. After that, she has a 3-1 MMA record, if I remember correctly. And that's really about it. So I think she's maybe been here 2 years, maybe.
Really?
Years? Yeah, something like that.
Wow. I mean, I don't think she's terrible, but I think you're right. I think, to be honest with you, from where I sit, now you can disagree or agree, but I see her relying on some of the same things and really not branching out. And mm-hmm. I think that kind of shows fear, but also that shows the fact that they don't want to expose her. And what's funny is they're really pushing her. They want her to be something. That entrance that she brings out, it's a big deal. That's a big feel entrance. Mm-hmm. And I think they're trying to push her to a level that I don't know if she's ready for yet, but I mean, 2-3 years, you've got to be ready sometime.
Mm-hmm. They definitely want her to be a big thing. I think you could tell, as you just said, by the entrance, really by the way they've presented her on NXT mm-hmm. television. She's gotten packages before. She's supposed to feel like a big deal. And I liked the finish. The sliding knee into the armbar triangle thing was really, really cool. And that knee looked downright dangerous. And maybe we haven't really seen her in anything go past 5 minutes, and that might be being generous because I know she got brought in for that 6-woman tag whenever the Iconic Duo was feuding with all the faces. But, and maybe this is another part of what's making it hard to connect to her. I don't know whether she's supposed to be a face or a heel either because she was a heel during all of that, and now she kind of seems like a face, but not really. So maybe it's just tough to connect with at this point. They're still trying to iron out the kinks, but I can't really get on board, you know?
I get you, and I don't blame you. They really haven't given you that clear direction at all, and I kind of It's weird to say. I kind of root for her, but on the flip side of that, I don't have a lot to root for. Right. And it's because we're getting those quick matches. And these are all the points you're bringing up here. And I think I'm kind of speaking the same language you are on this. But I think to myself, I think the presentation has definitely done her a lot of favors.
Yes.
I think you cut down on the presentation. We got a lot of problems. And I think you got someone who's just another NXT star and developmental. I don't think you have someone that people care about. So the production is what's putting her on the map. She needs to fill in the gap. That way we can actually get behind what she's doing. We can't have her in NXT for years and years and never get past 5 minutes.
Right. Right. Exactly. So that might just be a situation we all need to just keep an eye out. But after that match, we cut back to the Performance Center, and we get a chance to see Oney Lorcan and I'm going to call him Martin Stone, even though I know that's not his NXT name. That's going to bug me. It's the guy he's been having all the matches with, if you remember his
name. I'm trying to think of his name, too. I'm blanking on it, too. The British guy, of course. Doug, Gary. Oh, my God. Why can't it
be Dane Birch?
Thank you.
Yeah.
We are both having this senior moment right now. And we're not that old.
Absolutely. Oh, boy. Anyway, they're in there working together as a tag team against some guys in the Performance Center, which made me super happy to see. Maybe we will see them in the Dusty Rhodes Classic later on this year, if that is still going to be a thing. And Ruby Riott shows up to talk to William Regal because she wants to fight the Iconic Duo in a handicap match. And Regal says, I can't really do that, but I can give you a tag team match next week and find you a partner. And Ruby's doesn't really care so long as she is fighting the Iconic Duo. So Ruby Riott and a partner to be named against the Iconic Duo is going to go down next week. And then we get to see the main event, the no DQ match. Cassius Ohno taking on Hideo Itami. I thought this was wonderful. You have a lot of really big spots in this, such as Itami hitting that running dropkick into the corner with a chair on Ono's face, that suplex on the ramp, Ohno absolutely destroying him with some elbows, and the finish comes down to Ohno dropping out of the back after blocking a low blow and taking a gouge to the eye, drops out of the go-to-sleep, hits a low blow on Itami for some revenge, and then absolutely annihilates him with the roaring elbow to win. I thought this was really good. This might have been Cassius Ohno's best match since he's been back in NXT. And both of these guys really needed the win, so I don't know if you could have given it to Hideo here, but Cassius, for sure, I think you could argue, needed this more than Hideo did.
Yeah, he really did. And, you know, here's the thing. I kind of felt myself fighting, over this in my mind because I thought to myself, really, Cassius needs this. But what are they going to do with him after this? You know, that's the biggest question I always ask myself because I feel like he kind of starts and stops so much. And I just want Cassius Ohno to have a fluid career. And I kind of feel like every time they put him in a new feud, it's like, okay, we're going to start asking the same questions about him. I think that him winning, though, does need to happen because if he wouldn't have won here, we would have a lot worse image of him and we'd be back in the same boat that I've talked about plenty of times in this show, which I won't dwell on. Mm-hmm. So needless to say, very good for him. I think Hideo Itami himself playing up that heel part, I think this is going to feed more into that. Now, where we go from here to me is very important for Hideo Itami because he's lost some big matches.
Mm-hmm.
Has not been able to win the big matches that he needs to win. So I think from here, the anger level needs to go up, the frustration needs to go up, and from here, I think he needs to start getting on a winning streak. I think it needs to happen for him now. Whereas Cassius Ohno gets a big win, move on to the next big thing, and hopefully they got him on track somewhere somehow. I think this is so much more important after this match. The match itself was good. I think they did what they needed to do. I was really happy with what I saw in this episode of NXT with those guys. This wasn't a pay-per-view, but they still put on a pretty darn good match. Very happy with that. But, I look at this now and say, okay, whew, the bell just rung. It's over. Ohno wins. But what's next? I want to know what's next. This is the biggest part of the journey for me now. because working together is great, but now that if they are going to move separate ways, I hope it's a good path for both guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And maybe, I don't necessarily know what you're going to do with either of them, but they're still pretty clearly in that main event picture, if you ask me. So they could challenge Drew, seeing as he does have basically an open challenge anytime, anywhere. I really want to see Cassius work Donovan Dijak whenever that time comes. That's the next money match for KO for me.
Oh, man. I'm already excited about that one. Oh, boy. So, yes, please let that happen.
Let's get that going.
You know, and it's exciting because, you know, with those guys we talked about earlier in this show, once they are unleashed, this show is going to look so much different.
Absolutely.
And there's going to be some amazing matches coming your way, everyone. You are not going to be sitting on your hands very long. You're going to be up out of your seat, and you're going to be just, you know, rooting for these big matches that'll be taking place on NXT, on the NXT TakeOver shows. I cannot wait. That's why I'm impatient, guys. I'm not just saying I'm impatient because just to be impatient. I am because of all these scenarios we could be seeing soon. So, I do want to touch on really quickly before we get out of here. I want to talk about that Ruby Riott thing with, of course, William Regal. I know it's just a small little thing, but I always like to talk about some of the production stuff that they do here that's not exactly the same when you go into the main roster. And once again, you have like a kind of a POV type situation where it's like you're at the Performance Center watching, you know, Lorcan and, you know, now I'm going to forget his name again.
Danny Burch.
Danny Burch, thank you. You see them in the ring. You see, you're just kind of like a POV, and then you kind of turn and watch this, you know, little meeting between the wrestler and the GM, and it's like you're getting a peek into what's going on, right? Mm-hmm. So I appreciate that. I think it's kind of cool. And I just think it seemed like it mattered. It wasn't like we were getting all these close-ups and all that. You just got one shot, and you just kind of felt like you were peeking in, even though, you know, it was very simple, if I can just say it that way. I love the simplicity of it, and I like that what they did here, and they set up a good match. I can't wait to see who the tag team partner is in that situation. I'm really, really curious. I mean, is it going to be Ember Moon, or is it going to be somebody else that they really kind of push as a babyface? That's the question.
That's a great question. We're just going to have to wait and see to find out, because also taking place next week, Pete Dunne's going to defend that UK championship against Wolfgang. I'm super excited to see that just because I love watching Pete Dunne work.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm right there with you. It's going to be a thrill. I mean, I can't tell you how much I love Pete Dunne. I just do. To me, I always think to myself, and I'll be honest with you, when I read wrestling news and see his name, and he wrestled this match and this match, I'm like, why do I not get to see all this? I just need to see it, please. So, anyway, Pete Dunne, I cannot wait for him and Alexander Wolf to go at it, and it's going to be so great.
Not Alexander Wolf, just Wolfgang.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Wolfgang. Once again, guys, I'm going to tell you why I'm flustered. That'll be, of course, on a regular episode. I don't want to whine on this NXT. But anyway, that's our show.
Yeah. Well, no, we got the last segment yet, which is
the last segment. Go ahead.
Mr. Regal is in the ring with Asuka. She comes on down for the big announcement, which we all know what this is. She's obviously in negotiations with Raw and SmackDown for Asuka to move up. So Asuka is going to have to step down as NXT Women's Champion. This is basically those rare graduation, quote-unquote, segments that you get to see every once in a while in NXT, where Asuka is now moving on. Everybody from the locker room comes out, gives her the big round of applause. You have Ember Moon come into the ring and give her a big hug. You have Triple H come into the ring, also hug her and give her a bouquet of flowers. This is just a very nice, touching segment for somebody who has meant a great, great deal to this brand for the last 2 years.
I think so, too. I think that it's, you know, a nice send-off. I mean, we've seen this before. We've been happy with them, but I just really felt like they really made Asuka feel like someone that is iconic, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen Finn Balor leave. We've seen several other superstars take on their journey to the next main roster, and yet they kind of were just kind of given a hand clap and a thank you, you know, whoever. But Asuka was given this just big ovation from the not only the locker room and the crowd, but you get Triple H coming out there and just raising her hand with a title. Like, didn't even just take the title away, just said, oh, you know what? Never mind. Here, hold your hand up with it. You're still technically the champ, and all that kind of stuff. And I think that they did a great presentation here. I think the Ember Moon thing, I think it was nice. You often ask yourself, do you like the curtain calls? You know, I don't have a problem with them, but I know some people might. But I think this is fine. This kind of breaks the fourth wall. You get to see that, you know, hey, in real life, they care about each other. They love each other. And this is super awesome. And I'm just really, really happy to see this, right? I think they just did an excellent job of it. And if you're an Asuka fan, you walk away smiling out of this whole thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's just a really nice, sweet moment for Asuka. And if you've followed her on the entire journey, I mean, this is kind of cool, too. You've got to see her entire career, basically, in the States for the most part, outside of the few other appearances she's made. So, hats off to Asuka. I can't wait to see her on one of those other brands. They really need her. So, that's all for NXT.
Yeah, there you go, guys. So we appreciate you joining us tonight. We've had a lot of fun. We cannot wait to talk about next week. So tune in for us next Thursday. And, of course, we'll be down the download on Friday morning for you guys. And make sure you go check out all of the great shows. Just do that by searching out Wrestling to the Max wherever you get your podcast from. Or you can just go to W2Mnet.com and find it. As well as, you know, make sure you go check out all our great Wrestling to the Max episodes. We have them every Tuesday morning and Friday morning on the download for you guys. Part one and part two. The part two we're going to be doing tonight, of course, is going to include Lucha Underground as well as GFW's Impact Wrestling, along with some big wrestling news, and of course, me telling you why I am just discombobulated. So, lots of stuff to look forward to. Trust me, it will be an episode you're going to have a lot of fun listening to. But besides that, once again, thank you to 411mania.com. Thank you to LastWordOnProWrestling.com. And we are out of here. So until next time, I'm Gary Vaughn. He's Paul Leeser. Catch you guys down the road.
Have a good one, guys.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.